And if I'm wrong, you correct me and you be my friend. When you meet people from time to time and you exchange greetings, sometimes people will say, I'm blessed. That's common, I think, here in the South, especially for people that espouse to be religious. They'll claim to be blessed. For me, sometimes it sounds kind of over the top, a little gushy, even at times disingenuous. I don't think it's wrong to indicate to people that you are blessed. I think it would be wrong for the Christian if you were disingenuous. When you hear this and someone says, I'm blessed, what are they really trying to express to you? If you didn't have an intimate knowledge of their life or their circumstances, you might not really know. You might say, oh, he's just thankful. So I think I'd like to embark on a study of being blessed. There's three words I'd like to focus on for the beginning part of this. The first one being bless. The second one being blessing. And third one being the blessed person. By definition, bless means to find favor, to make someone happy or prosperous. Bless, the first one, it's the verb form. It's the one where you convey something over to a person or thing. It's a transitive verb. It's an action word. The second one, blessing, I put this up here because I'm kind of handsy. I need to point at something. Blessing is the actual gift. This is, for our study, would be the noun form. It's that which is conveyed. It's a gift, and it finds favor with someone, and it's that which gives happiness. This third word, the blessed, it would be, for our purposes, the one who enjoys this gift, the one that finds this happiness, the one that it's conveyed upon. This is an adjective. It's a descriptive word. It describes who got the gift. If you do a little word study, you'll realize that God has much to say about blessings. In these forms, bless, blessing, and blessed, a word study would reveal that God has spoken in these forms 476 times. And I might ask you, how many times would God need to say it for it to be so? How many times would God have to promise you that He would bless you for it to be so? I think the answer is one. If He said it one time, it would be sufficient. But in this form, God chose, through His Word, to reveal or convey His thoughts about a blessing nearly 500 times in the Scriptures. And you might say, well, Tim, what does that mean? Well, I think it's a point of emphasis. God, from the very beginning, has been concerned about mankind and has made it clear that He intends to bless us. There's a common thread between these three words. And there's something always associated with a blessing. And you picked it up in the definition if you listened. But it's happy. Happiness is always considered in the blessing. A true blessing is never intended to do harm. A blessing, or something associated with a blessing in this form, by definition, is always associated with happiness. I asked a question a minute ago, how many times would God have had to say it for it to be true? And I think we would agree that it's one. Can you think of something that God said that carried some real significance, and I realize all His sayings are significant, that He said once? If you look in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, a very significant event happened to all of mankind. Genesis 2 and 16, and He only said it once before it took place. We're in the garden. It's the garden scene at or thereafter creation. And God said, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." It's just 8 or 10 verses later. I don't know how much time has passed that man fell. Yet God had said it one time, but He meant it. So had He said, and you can fill in the blank, "I will bless thee, dot, dot, dot," one time would have been sufficient. But I raised the number to show that this blessing us and getting us to understand properly blessing and how it works in our lives and our relationship with Him is important. Let's take some words that we encounter in our spirituality, maybe in our teaching or in our daily walks. Devil. How many times is the word devil mentioned in the Bible? Well, I mean, you think, oh man, it's everywhere. It's on every page. Well, in that form, devil, it's 110. How about study? We all know the verse, and I think rightfully so, that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God. Well, just every other page is going to say that, isn't it? Seven times. Study. How about baptism? 26. Well, salvation's got to be just nearly every paragraph, right? Salvation, the word salvation, 167. Pray, 533. Sin, 743. Can you see where I'm going? The things that we need to worry about, sin in our lives, our relationship with God and praying, and how that affects our blessings and our life, has really been emphasized. And we need to give a lot of importance to it. A side point. The word God in the capital, God, 4,172 times. And that doesn't include the times He's referred to as the Father, or the Almighty, or the Creator, or any other rightful name. 4,000 times. He's told us a lot about Himself. We have the ability to understand what He wants us to know. From the very beginning, even before this garden scene, on day 6, God pronounced a blessing on us. God created man, and He blessed man, and He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." We didn't even get to the seventh day, and He had already pronounced a blessing. So from the very beginning, blessing us has been important to Him. Therefore, I think it should be to us. From the garden scene, He blessed us and wanted to bless us, but He also warned us. He's long-suffering. He's patient and He's kind and He's loving. But He's also severe. When He says something even once, He means it. So let's study some blessings. I think a proper study of blessings will bring us to some reasonable conclusions. First, I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, I'd like to say that some blessings are spiritual. If you turn on the TV, just a casual look through the religious channels, they might as well have a dollar sign as their background scene. Because blessing, to the most of the TV preachers, is money. It's like, show me the cash. For the Christian, we realize that most of our blessings are not earthly. Most of our blessings are not of this world. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless and without blame before Him in love. So these blessings described here are spiritual blessings, but they're in Christ. Another reading that describes spiritual blessings is in Revelation 22 and verse 14. Revelation 22:14. We sing a song about this. Blessed are those who do His commandments, that they may have the right or rights to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. This tree of life, if I understand correctly, used to be in the midst of the garden. And when man fell, God took away man's right to that tree. That tree exists now spiritually in heaven. And we can have a right to that tree if we can get through that gate and abide in that city. This is a blessing, but it's not here. This is a blessing that we long for and we hope for and we need to strive to attain. While those are spiritual, some blessings are earthly. In Psalms chapter 132, if you think about the 476 possible passages, I tried to pick out some that would emphasize the points that I chose, realizing that there are probably many other avenues of study that I didn't choose. But in this reading, it says, I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. This idea here of satisfying the poor with their necessary provisions, with the bread, has to do with an earthly blessing. In this reading here, I believe it's the Lord had chosen Zion, that wanted to be His dwelling place, and He would take care of them and give them the things that were necessary. Another reading is also in Psalms 128, 5 through 6. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. I think the idea here about Jerusalem had to do with that was their capital city, if you will. It was the seat of power. It's where the temple was. It's where their king resided. It's where the sacrifices were. It's where God dwelt, at least for a time, until the children of Israel displeased Him, was there in Jerusalem. If you think about during the captivity and Nehemiah heard that the walls were down, and he was upset about it. This was their hometown. This was where everything that was valued to them was Jerusalem. And God pronounces a blessing here that they might see the good of Jerusalem all of their days, and that they might see their children's children. Grandchildren are a blessing. grandchildren are a blessing, and I think some here and probably many we know have seen great grandchildren. If you took this passage and applied it to your life, many of you are probably blessed beyond measure. Another one that's of an earthly nature comes from Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, 2 and 3. This is an earthly blessing pronounced on Joseph. I will make you a great, or excuse me, it's on Abraham. Joseph will come later. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I will make you a great nation was promised to Abraham. How big was his family at that time? Two? And if the handmaid had a son, maybe three? A great nation? And I will make your name great? We know through New Testament studies that the children of Israel, they rode that for all it was worth. We're Abraham's children. You know, they were proud of that. Abraham was two, maybe three people in his household, but he was promised a blessing. And we know when God makes a promise, it comes true. But those were all of a physical nature. Some blessings are earned. Earned. It's a lot different from deserved. What do we really deserve? Nothing. We're just unprofitable servants. But there is a possibility, through God's grace, to earn a blessing. How about 2 Samuel chapter 8? Second Samuel chapter 8 and verse 10. David earned a blessing. Let me back up to verse 9. Then Toi, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer. Then Toi sent Joram, his son, to King David to greet him and bless him because he had fought against Hadadezer and defeated him, for Hadadezer had been at war with Toi, and Joram brought him articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of bronze. David, because of what he did, because he had went to war, because he had defeated this oppressor or this adversary of this king, he was rewarded, he was blessed. Some blessings require effort. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. In Deuteronomy 11, beginning in verse 18, here's some instructions, and these instructions come with a reward. They come with a blessing. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be a frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens of earth above. Verse 22, for if you carefully keep all these commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to hold fast to Him. Then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispose and will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. This required effort on the part of the children of Israel, but it was never in doubt. Now, some doubt it, but we realize that when God says something, it's never in doubt. We're the weak link there. When we realize our responsibility and carry it out, it's never in question. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, another blessing that requires effort. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things that are written in it. This is a blessing that's pronounced on the hearers, the readers, and the keepers of this prophecy. It requires effort. We can't be complacent. We can't smile and nod and then not do it. It's conditional. Some blessings are eternal. Some blessings are eternal. In Revelation chapter 14, in verse 13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. We realize that so far as we know here, death is final. If it was just left up to our wisdom, you're dead and you're gone. But understanding the spiritual realm and what God has in store for us there, that's the beginning of eternity. And those that die in the Lord, that's an eternal blessing. I don't know if we can get that. It's an eternal blessing to die in the Lord because that's the beginning of forever. James chapter 1 and verse 12 also talks of an eternal blessing. James 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. When, in your minds, does this approval take place? I don't think the approval that's spoke of here is what we can possess now. The approval spoken of here is at or after death. It may be at the final judgment scene. We may know what that approval will be if we make it to Abraham's bosom. But it's at or after death. It's not something we can possess here in life. This crown, this eternal crown, is a crown composed of life everlasting with Him. This is real similar to the previous reading in Revelation 14. These are eternal blessings for the righteous. Some blessings are temporary. Sometimes we just need something, and we need it now, and we need it here. And we realize that those are earthly, they're temporal, they're also temporary. If you'd like to turn to the book of Ruth, if you remember Ruth's situation, she was a Moabitess. We might say to Ruth, you're not from here, are you? She wasn't one of their people. Matter of fact, her people were not allowed in the congregation to the 10th generation. You remember why? I had forgotten that she was a Moabite. they had despised and put a curse on the children of Israel as they come out of Egypt. And the Lord didn't forget it. So the Moabites and the others that were in that clandestine effort with them, they're not approved of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. But Ruth, being a person who's in displeasure to the Lord, receives a blessing. She had married an Israelite man, and he died. And she chose to stay with her Israelite mother-in-law and care for her like she was her own. And therefore, she was blessed by Boaz. In Ruth chapter 2 and verse 12, "The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." Ruth, not being approved of God, did the right thing by her mother-in-law, and God approved her and blessed her for that through Boaz, and eventually she came to prominence in Israel. Even though she came from a, I'll use the word cursed, from a despised people, the Moabites. So, but that was a temporary blessing for Ruth. She needed something. I imagine this person who had traveled from her land back to Israel, and it was a time of harvest, and she's just following these reapers in the field, just trying to pick up something to eat off the ground. And she was in hard times. And the Lord blessed her and saw her needs. Some blessings require prayer. If you'll turn to James chapter 1 and verse 5. When our children are small, we don't wait till every time they cry to feed them. We try and get them on the schedule because as responsible adults, we understand their needs. Well, God has always given us what we need, but if there's things we desire, we can beseech Him in prayer. And He describes one of these here in James chapter 1 and verse 5. "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." I think we would always, or all agree, that wisdom is a blessing. But we don't all possess it. Some of us may never possess it. But if we'll ask God, and if we'll do the things necessary on our part, which begins with prayer, He'll give us wisdom. Some blessings, they just happen. Some blessings just happen, and they happen to everybody. Have you heard it said that it rains on the just and the unjust? There's some things that God has set into motion that we would consider blessings, and they happen to everybody. There's one in John 3:16. John 3:16 is very familiar to us. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Is this only for us? I say no. This is not just for the believers, not just for the ones that come to church. This was for mankind, even the reprobate, even the sinner, even the murderer, even the undeserving, God gave this blessing for. And we know, when we understand the judgment scene, the wide path versus the narrow path, most people won't even accept this. They won't even choose it. But it's there. This was the greatest gift ever given to mankind. The greatest gift ever given was given to the most unworthy people. Some blessings we possess now. Some blessings are in possession now. In Proverbs chapter 10, in verse 22, Proverbs 10 and 22, "The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and He adds no sorrow with it." I would suggest that this blessing of the Lord, which makes one rich, has to be here because sorrow was in consideration. See, if it was of a spiritual nature or a heavenly nature, we know there's no sorrow there. So it had to be, or I'm going to apply it to here. Another blessing that was in possession now occurred in Deuteronomy chapter 23. In Deuteronomy 23, this is that occasion where the Moabites cursed Israel. In Deuteronomy 23, in verse 5, by the way, it was the Ammonite and the Moabite in verse 3 that were in that collusion to bring that curse. In verse 5, "Nevertheless, the Lord your God would not listen to Balaam, but the Lord God, your God, turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loves you." So this curse that they had tried to inflict on them, God turned it into a blessing and gave it to them right then. Now, if you think about this, this was the nation of Israel coming out of Egypt. They're coming out of bondage. They're on the run. They're trying to get away. I guess this is post-Red Sea. This is after that. But they were not greeted well here. And God changed that curse to a blessing. And they possessed it right then. Finally, some blessings are promised. Some blessings are promised. If we look at Ezekiel chapter 36, Ezekiel 36, verses 26, and 27. "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." This is a promise of a new birth. I think we realize what that new birth is. It's being born again as a Christian. It's something they probably couldn't understand. They didn't have enough information then, but they still could have believed the promise had they believed God. They could have looked forward to the promise of a new birth. They might have been like some of the people Jesus encountered and said, "Well, how are we going to be born again? I believe it, but how's it going to happen?" Those are all the accounts of blessings that I'll talk about. Those were 10 ways I categorized them, and I realize there could have been many more. I would suggest that we exist in either two different states. We are just before our blessing, or we're after. We've heard some phrases through time and through history like pre-World War II or post-World War II. Most recently, pre-9/11 or post-9/11. There are things in history that were just game changers. They changed things. Vietnam War changed that generation, and 9/11 changed our generation to a certain degree. And the blessing can change us if we'll let it. We can find ourselves in a pre-blessing mode, needing or desiring something, asking for it, seeking it, or we're the recipient of it. So we're either pre or post. I don't see a middle ground there. We've either been blessed or we've not. I think we've established that we've all been blessed. Mankind has been blessed. We have life, breath, and all things we possess comes from God. So that is a blessing. But to what extent do we possess blessings can largely depend on us. So when we think about spiritual blessings or earthly blessings or earned or blessings that require effort or eternal or temporary or some that require prayer or some that God just bestows on us or some that are in possession or some that are in promise, what should it do to us? I've chosen three things to talk about briefly. I won't talk about them in as much detail as I have this because of time. But I think understanding blessings properly will help us to realize our responsibilities. We all would agree that friends are a blessing. The Bible teaches that as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of a friend. Have you sharpened your friend's countenance lately? In Proverbs 18 and 22, we understand that he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Do you cherish your wife? Did you leave your father and mother and cleave to her? I think young couples, that's a little hard. There must be a leaving and there must be a cleaving. We realize that children are a blessing. We've already discussed that grandchildren are a blessing. If you would, turn to Psalms 127. Psalms 127, 3 through 5. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Your children are a blessing. And if you have a full quiver, you've got a real good blessing. A quiver is that device that you keep arrows in. If you're an archer at battle, that's your quiver. So children are a blessing to us. But if we understand that blessing, then we need to understand our responsibility. Have you raised them in the Lord's nurture and admonition? Do you discipline your children? How about your brethren? Do you realize that your brethren are a blessing to you? We're espoused to do good to everybody, especially those of a household of faith. We have responsibilities to friends, wife, children, brethren, and we also have a responsibility to ourselves. If we're going to be the type of people we should be, we need to deny self. We need to be selfless. If we can get ourselves out of the picture and get God's plan for us in, we'll better understand our responsibilities. Understanding blessings will also cause us to spring into action. How about a passage that would indicate we need to fight the good fight of faith? We realize Christians, we're not people of warfare. We're not going to go to fisticuffs with someone. But we can contend, and we should. Christians need to be a prayerful people, giving thanks always, making intercessory prayers for one another. So when we understand our blessings and the need for them, then it'll cause us to be a more prayerful people. Part of this springing into action is in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9, 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. We can't properly understand our blessings if we're not willing to stand for the gospel. What about helping others? That's an action that we can spring into. There's always somebody that needs help. And it might not be money. We talked about this a little bit in the senior class tonight, or this morning I subbed for Mike. The subject was giving. Sometimes we need to give of our time. But we're admonished in the New Testament, him that stole, to steal no more, but labor with your hands that you might have to give to those that are in need. I realize I've run over a little bit on time, but understanding blessings will also help us to come to the proper conclusions. If you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, we'll be ready to close. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. A proper understanding of blessings will help us to think on the right things. And in this same chapter, in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. A proper understanding of blessings and our relationship with them and how they relate to us will cause us to be a more thankful and thoughtful people. Those are the thoughts that I wanted to convey to you today. I hope they've helped you like they have me. We always say that the invitation of the Lord is open, and it is today as well. If you're not the type of person that you've considered the blessings of God like you should and you need to, if you're not a Christian and you want to put yourself in a relationship to be able to receive all of the blessings that God would have in store for you, you can make your request known this morning by making your way to the front, and one of the elders will assist you.